Okay, so we're going to restate the issues in the sugya by Shem and Zayas. So the Gemara at the top of Lamed Vav Amud Aleph says like this: the Gemara is wondering how did he ever make a bari pri eitz on Shem and Zayas. So the Gemara says, "Hachav b'maya skinan bechoshesh begrono." Right, the person has a sore throat. Desanya hachoshesh begrono lo yareno b'shemen tchila b'shabbos. So you have a Tosefta that talks about refuah on Shabbos, and it says if a person is choshesh begrono, if he has this, something bothering his throat, lo yareno b'shemen tchila b'shabbos, aval no saint shemen harbe l'socha nigrono b'leya. So, Rashi, let's take a look at Rashi. What does this Tosefta mean? How do you understand it? So Rashi says, Hachoshish begrono, v'tzorach loseis bo shemen harbe, tahavile shemen ikr vanigron tafel. So, insofar as the question of ikr tafel, when you choshish begrono, you're going to end up putting more shemen than you have anigron. So the shemen will be the rov. And therefore, the Shem will be the Iker, and the Anigron will be the Tafel. So now, what's the halacha? Lo yareno b'shemen, b'shabbos. But you're not allowed to do ear or with Shemen. De'mashile b'soch grono, because you let it linger in your throat. Ve'eno bolo, and you don't swallow it. And there was like a type of gargling, in a way. Ve'kema de'lo bolole, mucha milsa l'refuahu. And since you don't swallow it, it's evident that it's for refuah. V'chacham gozru al kol refuos hanikaros mishum shchikas samonim. And the chacham made a gzera against all recognizable evident refuos because of the problem of shchikas samonim shi malacha. Because of that malacha. Yeah. So... Right, in other words, you can't grind up on Shabbos herbs and spices and the like. Alright. Now Rashi continues. So the Tosefta says, Lo yareno b'shemen tchila b'shabbos. And of course, the word tchila is seems to be a word that's, you know, at best extra, or you simply don't know what it's doing there. So Rashi explains, Lo yarena b'shemen tchila b'shabbos. What does it mean, tchila b'shabbos? Chlomar, lechatchila lo yitein ha-shemen b'fiv, l'shem iror. That lechatchila, you're not allowed to put the shemen into your mouth for the purpose of iror. Kiyim l'shem b'liya. But it must be put there with the purpose of b'liya. V'im bol ha-shoso yishayinu. And if you come to let it... you know, linger in your throat a little bit, you know, a little, it goes slowly down, that's okay. I guess even if you, yeah, okay. So that's what Rashi says. So that's Rashi. So according to Rashi, the Isser Refuah on Shabbos is that you can't take a Shemen and be ma'arer exclusively. That's the Isser. The Isser is iror exclusively. You know, it's taking it into your mouth, Shemen Zayas, and then spitting it out. That's what's Asser. But if you're Boleya, it's Mutter. And of course, it's also Mutter if you put in Anigram, which Rashi really doesn't even address. So first of all, just reading the Rashis, so simply the Rashi of Divrei HaMaschil Tchila needs explanation. Well, what's he talking about? That L'chila, you can't put into your mouth L'shem Iror, but L'shem Bliya. What all of a sudden, is this defined by intent? Which is interesting if you're talking about Hilcha Shabbos. What kind of idea is that? What do you mean L'chatchila lo yitain Hashem L'shem Iror? Yeah, also, that's also funny. L'chatchila. But b'di'evit you can?
Is that what that Rashi means? L'chachili you can't, but b'dieved it's okay.
It's a very, very strange Rashi. And then you have the major kasha that all the Rishonim ask on Rashi, which Tosas says very well. Take a look at Tosas, Divrei Amaschil Lo Yareno, Pirish Rashi L'Hashoso. Vim Tomar, Imkein Liflog V'Lisni B'dida. My year yal yedeya nigron afila beine shari labola altar the ha'ino asa la arer the ha'ino la shoso. Yes, that's a strong question. He says, if it's true according to Rashi that the yisur is only la shoso, meaning gargling, letting it linger in your throat and then spitting it out. Oh, so then why didn't the Brisa simply say that lo yarena b'shem etchila b'shabbes aval no saint shemen uboleya? But you're allowed to put shemen in your mouth and swallow it. Why did the brites have to go to a case of a nigron to make it mutter on Shabbos? It should have been simply that you do bliya, because according to Rashi, even shemen alone, be'en, alone, is permitted to do bliya. So the brites should have just said that. This is usser and that's mutter. Why did it have to now introduce a nigron as the method of doing shemen zayas as being mutter? Okay, those were the problems in Rashi. Okay? So, if you look again on Lamed Hey Amud Beis, Rashi Divrei Amaschil, Rashi Divrei Amaschil, Azuki Mazik, on Lamed Hey Amud Beis. So Rashi says, Azuki mazik legufe, ve'ein zu achila sheteuna bracha. The gabe bracha v'achaltuksev. So what is Rashi telling you here? That the problem of shemen zayis, of azuki mazik le, is a problem that it's an achila that lacks hanah. And therefore, ein zu achila shetuuna bracha. See, it's not because it's not defined as an achila. The problem is, it's not an achila that's tuuna bracha. Bracha requires that there be an aspect of hanah, that there's hanah. But that it is still an achila, that it is. It's just not an achila that's tuuna bracha. So, therefore, according to Rashi, it's like this. You see, Shemen Zayas is really a Chefta Shalochel. It's definitely a Chefta Shalochel. And therefore, if you do a Maisa Achila to a Chefta Shalochel, then that is definitely mutter on Shabbos. I'm dropping the brachas issues now. Now I'm dealing with Shabbos again. In other words, shemen zayis is a chefta shalochel. It might be lacking hanah. It might not be mechayev in a bracha. But those are brachas issues. But it is a chefta shalochel. And therefore, if you do a maisa achila to a chefta shalochel, it's definitely mutter on Shabbos. What's usser is to do a maisa refua. In this case, a maisa of iror. A maisa of lahashoso. You see? That's the isser Shabbos. It's an isser maisa. Like all Hilcha Shabbos. But What Rashi defines in the Rashi of Techila is Klomar lechatchila lo yiten Hashem b'piv l'shem iror, meaning not lechatchila b'di'eved. It means you can't place whatever it is into your mouth in a manner of iror. In other words, it can't be manifest in the maisa that you're doing it l'shem iror. That cannot be manifest. And it has to be l'shem bliya, meaning it has to be manifest that it's a maisa achila. Vimbala shoso yishaheno, and if it happens to you, you swallow it very slowly, you know, or you you know, gargle inside your throat for a second, but then you swallow it, that's still a maisa achila. You have to look at the maisa achila meitchilasa vatsofo. You have to see what it was. So that's what this Rashi's telling you. What Rashi's telling you is that the evaluation of a maisa is from beginning to end. You got to look at the entire thing to decide at the end, was this a maisa achila or not? That's a lechachila. It's not lechila b'diavad at all here. It means lechila means at its initiation. That's the lechachila here. And that's exactly what the Tosefta is trying to say, according to Rashi. Lo yareno b'shemen techila b'shabbos. You see, you can't do it in any way that would manifest refuah, that would manifest shehiyah and iror. That's the iser. So it's a maisa iror that's aser, a maisa refuah. But if you do a maisa achila, that's manifest as a maisa achila from beginning to end, and it's done to, of course, a chafta shel ochel, then of course it's going to be a mutter. It's going to be mutter. By the way, it would come out, if you according to this Rashi, that if you took apple juice and you gargled it and you spit it out on Shabbos, it would be usser. That would be usser. It doesn't rescue you the fact that it's a chefta shel ochel. That's a maisa refuah. You can't even take regular foods, according to Rashi, and use them in a therapeutic manner, meaning where the maisa is defined as a therapeutic thing, which would be gargling and spitting it out. That's the halacha according to Rashi. So it's an iser maisa. But of course, in order to be defined as a maisa chila, you need a chefta shalochel, which Semen Zayas is definitely a chefta shalochel. It's part of the world of ochlim, of foods. The only thing is, it's a food that lacks hana. So therefore, it's not ton or bracha. That's a different issue. That's how Rashi learns. That's the Rashi. So it's right. That's the chum et gzera refus nikaros means that it has to be nikar, that it's a maisa refua, which of course in this case, in this scenario, that it's absent the definition of a maisa achila. Of course, there's other kinds of refuas that are also that might do achila, but in here, in this case, it would be that it's devoid of the characterization as a maisa achila. But if you do blia to Shemen Zayas, that's a maisa achila. You let it linger down your throat a little bit. That's okay. Still, it still is, from the perspective of a person, a maisa achila. You see? It'd be a maisa achila. By the way, I was thinking, like, if a guy would take, for instance, if a guy, I think you guys were bothered by this a little bit last week. Like, let's assume a guy took olive oil, and he took a Q-tip, and he swabbed the Q-tip, and then he puts it into his mouth, and I don't know, he takes care of a sore. You know, or maybe even puts it on his throat, at the back of his throat. And then he swallows it. That would be usher, according to Rashi. Because that's not putting the Shema b'fiv l'shem bliya. That's a maisa refuah. Nobody would take a Q-tip to eat food. That would be a maisa refuah, even though he does bliya in the end. Makes no difference. It has to be mitchilasa v'ad sofa. That would be a good example of to explain that Rashi. You know, what would be the case of l'shem iror as opposed to l'shem bliya? Although that's not exactly iror, but you get the idea. I'm trying to show you the concept. Okay. I don't care. Azuki mazik just means it's lacking another. The minute you do a maisa achila to a cheftza of ochel, that's achila. I mean, we don't start going into what the guy's intent is. That's exactly the point. Who cares? That's a maisa.
What's your basis for saying that it's a...
See, that's the point. You know, it's to define it as a maisa refuah, you have to look tchila v'sof. Meaning, Rashi doesn't care if a guy
lets it linger as it goes down, because that's just his way of eating. That's how it's interpreted. It's not a refuah nikaros anymore. That's why you look at it mitchila v'saf. You know what I mean? A guy might drink wine and let it swish around his throat a little bit. And then he swallows it. You know, just like a guy, you know, little kids like to make do funny things with food too. You know, but that's it. That's you can't start looking at every split second. But you do look at the nature of the maisa for mitchila and saf. That's what Rashi's saying. That's what he means. It means that will give you the complete picture of this maisa. Anything else is not to be considered taken too seriously. You know, if a guy is, that's what he means. That's exactly what he meant. Kiyam l'shem b'liv. And bola shos yishenu. All right, if you come to be shiv, okay. That doesn't lose its character as a mais achila. It's a chefta shalochel, and you put it in your mouth as a yud. You ate it as a chefta shalochel, and you swallowed it like a chefta shalochel. That's achila. That's what it is. That's a mais achila. Mitzvah mais achila, you can't define it as a mais refua that's nikaras. You just can't. It's not nicker. That's it. It can't be. Ah, your intent was really to treat your throat? Nah, that's not what's usher. It's not fulfilling your intent. That's usher on Shabbos. It's refuas and ikaras is usher. It's a certain maisa. That's what he holds. That's, I'm gonna put that on. Yeah, that's possible. It could be if a guy puts, let's say, water into his mouth and then spits it out because, you know, he's fooling around or he's like being like a human water gun. That might not be us because it's mukach that it's for something else. But if it's not mukach, then according to Rashi, it's going to be usher. Because it's not a maisa achila, and you're gargling, and gargling is a maisa refuah. That's what gargling is. So I guess it could be that if it's mukach that you're doing it to be playful, to be a clown, whatever, maybe that could be, that's probably mutter. That would make sense. But that's because it has now a different definition altogether. It's clear. It's mukach the other way. Okay. That's what L'shem Hira means. It means it's telling you that's what the Maisa indicates. It's not about your Kavana. Just because you use the word L'shem doesn't mean Kavana. L'shem could be defining the nature, what it's indicated by the character of the Maisa. Whether it's L'shem Bliya or L'shem Hira. It's about the character of the Maisa. It's not about the kavan in your head. I mean, even according to Rashi, I don't think you can fool the system here. Meaning, if you put it into your mouth and then you start gargling it for 2 minutes, and then you swallow, I would say that's gone. That would not be considered a contiguous, normal achila. Because that's his lashon. He says, Vimbola shosa yishayeno. It means it has to be considered to be, you know, one with the Maisa Achila. It has to be obvious. It has to be Mitchila V'Saf. It means that's the character. An observer would see that as the character. So now we come to Tosos. So Tosos... Oh, wait, one second. We have one more thing. We got to put in Rebbe's idea now. Yeah, so now the question Rashi is, of course, now there's one question left. Now that we've said all this, so why didn't the Tosefta really say that the method of doing it that's mutter on Shabbos is to be boleya? Now just turn it into a maisa achila, right? Why did it go to a nigram? So that's what Rebbe said. He said that there's a different aspect that Rashi's dealing with here, which is the problem of onik Shabbos. That since it's azuki mazikley. Since it's Azuki Mazikle, so therefore that would be something that would run counter to the Kiyamonic Shabbos. Because you shouldn't put yourself really into any kind of painful situation, unpleasant situation on Shabbos. You're not allowed to be in an unpleasant state on Shabbos. That's why you have halachas, like certain halachas about taking trips, or boat trips, and things like that. There are certain gzeiras even. That a person shouldn't be in a situation that they don't feel well on Shabbos. Because it's against Onik Shabbos, the Kiyam Onik Shabbos. Mitzvahs Onik Shabbos. So that's what he wanted to say. That since Shem Zayis Sazuki Mazikle, so therefore, that's why the Brisa said, although there's no problem with Refuah if you really were Balea, but
there would still be a lack of chisaron insofar as oneg Shabbos. So therefore the Brisa said, you know what, you can accomplish it this way. Have Shemen Zayas with Anigron. You'll get, and the Shemen Zayas will be the Rove. It'll still will be an okay drink, you see? And you'll get the medicinal benefits as well as the fact that it'll be considered a achila that has hana. That's an achila of hana. And therefore you avoid the whole problem of owning Shabbos. Alright? That's how you can learn Rashi. However, Tosis doesn't learn Rashi that way. And we'll first take up what Tosis' sheet is himself. But Tosis has this problem in the Braisa. And he doesn't have Onik Shabbos as an alternative. So now Tosis first comes up. The Re first gives his own shot in the Tosefta. So he says like this, third line down in the Tosis, Al Kain Pirish Re, Lo Yareno Afila Biblia, Belo Shehia. Shekol Shasiya Sheina El Rafua Kari La Yurur. Right? That Lo Yareno really doesn't mean just gargling. It means even if you swallow it. Okay? Even if you swallowed it straight down. Why? Because any drinking that whose whole purpose is Rafua, we call Irur. Even if you swallow it. Vahainu Taim, but the Mitzvah Mishim the Kamucha Milsa the Rafua Kamachavin. And that's why it's Usur, it's because it's apparent that it's for Rafua. Right? That's what the Re holds. So how did the Re answer his kasha? You know, before we get to the Sfaras, let's just get the pshat. Because the Re's kasha is liflog v'lisni b'dida. So of course, the answer is very simple. The answer is that it's impossible to ever take Shemen Zayas plain on Shabbos. Whether Shehiyah or Blia. Either way is Usser. So that's why it had to introduce Nigron Ubalea. Okay? So, what does Tosis hold in Svara? In other words, what's the Isser Rafua on Shabbos? It's obviously different than Rashi. Because according to him, even Shemen Zayas straight down Blia is Usser. Right? So what does he hold? So according to Tosis, it's like this. That not the approach we took last week. It's much smoother that they're not arguing about whether or not Shemen Zayas is an ochel. That's a very difficult machlokas. But rather like this. Tosis holds simply the situation, the circumstances, define the Maisa Rafua. Meaning, even though a guy has a Chefta Shalochel, and even though he's doing a Maisa Achila, yeah, but nobody would ever do a Maisa Achila to that Chefta Shalochel, because it's a Zuki Mazikle. So when you evaluate the circumstances, and it's not just the pure Maisa, but you look at the circumstances, that defines it as a Maisa Rafua. That's what Tosus holds. And that will also, and if you learn that Svara, it'll answer our question that according to Tosus, if you have a Nigron and you gargle it and spit it out, that will definitely be Usser. Because even though it's ochel, you see, it makes no difference because the circumstances, the fact that you gargled and spit it out, when you evaluate the entire situation, that will add up to a Maisa Rafua. That's what Tosis holds. You don't evaluate it from the inherent, you know, just simply looking at the inherent Maisa. You have to look at the circumstances. The Maisa exists in a certain situation, in a certain realm of circumstances. And therefore, when you look at a guy taking Shemen Zayas and swallowing it, you would say, why would any normal person do that? The answer is, there's only one reason a normal person does that. He's looking to soothe his throat. No other person would do it for that, any other reason. So therefore, it's mukach from the circumstances
then it's a Maisa Rafua. That's what Tosos holds. So Tosos holds, you can utilize the circumstances to define the Maisa, to define whether it's a Maisa Achila, or insofar as Shabbos is concerned, a Maisa Rafua. That's what he holds. And a Nigron is certainly Usur gargling. You see? That's why the Bright Tosefta says, Ubalea. You have to swallow it. Or else it won't be Mukach that it's a scenario of Achila. That's Tosus. Now, Tosfos is going to now be Miyashev Rashi. But you'll see that according to Tosfos, the way he's Miyashev Rashi is within his framework. Within his framework. Okay, which is that circumstances can define the Maisa. Okay? So let's take a look. Inami Yeshli Ashev Pirish Rashi Loya Reno Lahashoso. You can't do gargling. Aval Nosin Hulusocha Nigron Vafilu Lahashoso. Okay, there goes the big distinction. Right? That you could according to this answer, according to Rashi, you could put it on Nigron and gargle with it and spit it out. Oh, Bolo Bene. Or you can swallow it plain. Below Shehiyah. So the only thing that's usher is olive oil alone, Shemen Zayas alone, and gargling it. But Shemen Zayas you could swallow, and on Nigron you could even gargle. Which, by the way, of course, according to the Inami, that's the answer to Tosa's original question. Again, first pshat. In other words, why did the Brisa not say that Shemen Zayas gargling is usur, but you could swallow it? Why did it have to introduce a Nigron? So according to Rashi, it introduced a Nigron to teach you a big chiddush, that if you put Shemen Zayas in a Nigron, you can even gargle with it and spit it out. That's why it brought in, that's why it gave you that case. It's a bigger chiddush. That's a big chiddush. So that answer is... What? No, so he... I know, he learns... Well, that's Tosa. He learns Obalea. Obalea. I know, you got to give a little crowbar to the Tosefta. It's really Aval Nosin Shemen Harbe L'Socha Nigram. Comma. Obalea, which is going back on Shemen Zayas alone. That's how you read it. It's a Choshe B'Grona Li'arena B'Shemen T'chila B'Shabbos. Comma. Okay, lo yirareno, but you could swallow it. Now the next halacha. Aval nosin shemen harbe l'socha nigron. Comma. And that's even gargling it. Obolea now is going back on modifying the original sentence. Well, it's actually modifying everything. Obolea means, of course, you could swallow anything. Even a nigron and even olive oil. But it comes out that a nigron, it'll come out that you can do gargling to it. That's how Tosus learns. And it's a little bit of, it's a little bit of a difficult pshat, but that's his pshat. After all, he's being Miyashev Rashi. See, now Tosus had to come on to this because he didn't make recourse, to the approach that Rabbi Chait made, namely introducing a new concept of Onik Shabbos. He's trying to formulate the Tosefta within itself, only within the categories of the Issa Refuah. So that's what Tosus is doing here. You see, he's being Miyashev Rashi within his framework, which is that you have two possibilities. Okay, what are the two possibilities? You have... Give me a second here, 1 second. It comes out like this. The way Tosus is learning, right? Because you have to really make sense out of these possibilities. Why is it that you could gargle a Nigron and spit it out? So I think you're going to have to come on to say that according to Rashi, there is two kinds of foods. Now it's both olive oil, Shemen Zayas, and a Nigron, both are considered ochel. But it's a compromised ochel, Shemen Zayas.
In other words, it's an ochel that's compromised. It has a different character because it lacks in hanah. It's azuki mazikle. So it's an unusual ochel. There's two kinds of ochel. There's like absolute ochel. That means it's an ochel that gives hanah. And then there's an ochel that lacks hanah, that doesn't give hanah. So what Rashi holds is like this, according to this Tosfos, that if you have an absolute food, i.e. a nigron, so then the circumstance is not a factor. It's simply how he eats it. Now, if it's an absolute food, then it depends what he does to it. If he does a maisa achila to it, then it's mutter. If he does a maisa... No, I'm sorry. Take it back. Let me... One second. In other words, like this. In other words, according to Rashi... Start again. According to Rashi, in Tosis's version, the Inami... So, it really operates within the framework of the circumstance defining the maisa. But you see, by an absolute food, by definition, since it's an ochel b'shleimusa, so therefore, it can never be part, circumstance can never define it as being part of the world of refuah. Since it's an absolute food, it's mufka from being a maisa refuah. You'll tell me he put it in his mouth and he spit it out. Okay, the guy's a little weird, but it's a maisa. It would be according to Rashi, that would be an aborted maisa achila. It can never enter into the realm of refuah because it's an ochel. The fact that the ochel is complete, that there's a shem achila, so the circumstance can never define it as being a refuah, as a maisa refuah. You'll tell me, why did he spit it out? I don't know why he spit it out. He's a strange bird, but he spit it out. But since it's a chefta shel ochel b'shleimusa, so therefore, by definition, it's considered a maisa achila. He stopped. That's an aborted maisa achila. He changed his mind for some reason. We don't know why. Okay, it wouldn't come under the definition of a refuah nikeres, because since it's a chefta shel ochel b'shleimusa, so therefore, by definition, it's removed from the world of refuah. But if it's just a mere shame ochel, but it's not normally eaten, because tzatzuki mazikle, it's a compromised ochel, you see? So then, that is where circumstance is going to define it. If you do a proper maisa achila to it, so that's it. Then it's defined as a maisa achila. But if you gargle it and spit it out, then the circumstance says, aha, why did a guy take a compromised food? Why did he take something that doesn't give hanah and spit it out? And the answer is, it's because it's refuah. You know what I mean? In other words, Tosis is operating in his framework that circumstance defines the maisa. Circumstance defines the maisa. But it only defines the maisa when you're dealing with a compromised food. When you're dealing with an absolute food, that's it. That already throws the circumstance and registers as achila. Even if he stops, it's an aborted achila. That's what Tosis holds. In other words, again, according to Tosis, he's operating within his framework. He doesn't have an idea of owning Shabbos. So he has to understand why did the Brisa not be cholek b'didei? Right? So his answer is, according to his own lines of thinking, that really is the whole Tosis holds that circumstance always defines refuah.
as a circumstance, the situation at large, all the pieces of the puzzle all play a role in defining this Maisa. The whole framework. The only thing is, according to Rashi, Tosas holds, as opposed to his own Shita, is that he's being machalik between two kinds of things. A ochel gamor and an ochel eino gamor. A compromised ochel and a complete ochel, an absolute ochel. If it's a compromised ochel, then the circumstance will define it, will define the maisa. But if it's an absolute ochel, then it's mufka from the iser refuah, from the shame refuah. That's how he learns. And that's why a nigron gargling will be mutter, because that's mamish and ochel. In its complete definition. So therefore, the circumstance can't define it. That's ochel. You put it in your mouth, you spit it out, okay, so you spit it out, then you change your mind. Guy has the right to change his mind in the middle of an achila. But if it's a compromised one, that's it. Then already the circumstance will define that maisa as being a maisa refuah. That's how Tosus learns. Oh, we have to stop the shiur because it's saying my battery is low. All right, it's very quiet over there. Wow.
Thinking.
All right. Okay, you have a whole week to think now.
According to Tosos, would all cases of compromised fila be qualified as refuah? What's the compromised food?
I guess so. Anytime you take, I mean, I don't know what the other case would be, but Echanami, if you took another compromised food, yeah, I mean, why should this be only Shem and Zayas? You're right. If you have another compromised food, some food that's Azuki Mazikle, and you went ahead and you did this, and Echanami. I was wondering, by the way, what happens if a guy does it? Well, I don't know. Good question. I was wondering. Let's say that it's a real food, but the guy already did an achilas gasa, and now when he eats, it really be azuki mazikle, and he spits it out. I don't know. I was wondering about that. But that might be different though, because that's the food is still defined as a food. All right, that's something to think about. But yeah, nechanami. If it's really a real compromised food, it's azuki mazikle, and there might be other cases besides Shem and Zayas. I don't know if there are. So, in a chanami, the same halachas would apply. Now, the idea of a real something that really damages you, that's the case of Kusha Lekukiyani on Daf Lamed Vav Amid Aleph. And there the Gemara says, you definitely make a brach on it, because you're nene from it. So you see, Azuki Mazik lay here does not mean damages you, because damaging you doesn't take away from a bracha. The fact that a guy, eats the fattiest, most cholesterol-laden foods, doesn't take away from it being an ochel shel hana. It damages you. We don't care. That's not the halacha's issue. Azuki mazikle here means that it lacks in hana. And the Rambam used the exact same expression. I mentioned this, I think, the other week when he talks about achilas gasa. He says it's mazikle. I don't remember his exact lashon, but it's yazikenu mazik. I forgot exactly what Hebrew use mazik that form, because that's exactly what it means. It doesn't mean damages in this sense. It means it's a totally unpleasant achila. Okay, so next week we should finish up the Gemara. Finish up the Gemara's the brachas problem, the havim min askana, the pshita, mahu the same that you wouldn't make a bracha because of refuah, right? Kamash malon, hana. And we should define that, and then we'll go on to the either way. We can do that first, or we can do the Rambam problem in Shah, but I think you'll have to do the Rambam both Rambams together. So you know what? Let's finish up the Gemara first, and then next week we'll do the two Rambams. The Rambam in, I think, Perachaf Aleph and Shabbos, and the Rambam in, well, what Perach is it in Brachas? Beis, Gimel. I don't remember. You'll see, it's over here. All right, that's what we'll do. Okay.
Thank you, Rabbi.
All right, guys, have a great week.
Thanks.
Bye.
You too. Thank you.